Hi, I'm Emily.
Hi, Emily.
The Al-Anon family groups are a fellowship of relatives and friends of alcoholics who share their experience, strength, and hope in order to solve their common problems. We believe alcoholism is a family illness and that changed attitudes can aid recovery. Al-Anon is not allied with any sect, denomination, political entity, organization, or institution, does not engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any cause. There are no dues for membership. Al-Anon is self-supporting through its own voluntary contributions. Al-Anon has been one purpose, to help families of alcoholics. We do this by practicing the 12 steps, by welcoming and giving comfort to families of alcoholics, and by giving understanding and encouragement to the alcoholic. These are the Al-Anon 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we have harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we are wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to others and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. These are the Al-Anon 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal progress for the greater number depends upon unity. 2, for a group purpose, there is but one authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscious. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the relatives of alcoholics, when gathered together through mutual aid, may call themselves an Al-Anon family group, provided that as a group, they have no other affiliation. The only requirement for membership is that there be a problem of alcoholism in a relative or friend. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or Al-Anon or AA as a whole. 5, each Al-Anon family group has but one purpose, to help families of alcoholics. We do this by practicing the 12 steps of AA ourselves, by encouraging and understanding our alcoholic relatives, and by welcoming and giving comfort to families of alcoholics. 6, our Al-Anon family groups ought never endorse, finance, or lend our name to any outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary spiritual aim. Although a separate entity, we should always cooperate with Alcoholics Anonymous. 7, every group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Al-Anon 12-step work should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, our groups as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, the Al-Anon family groups have no opinion on outside issues, hence our name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, TV, and films. We need guard with special care the anonymity of all AA members. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all of our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles above personalities. So you guys, please help me welcome our Al-Anon speakers.
Hey, my name is Laura.
I'm
an Al-Anon. I don't really know. This is my first time sharing in Al-Anon, so I don't really know what's gonna happen. But I joined Al-Anon a couple months ago when I became really insane and I didn't want to live anymore, pretty much. I'm also in another program. And, you know, my life became really unmanageable and I stopped pretty much doing things for myself and for another alcoholic in my life. You know, so my world revolved around this person. And I don't know, I mean, earlier this year I moved back home because I had no God in my life, I think, and because I wanted to run away from reality, and escape, like, what really was, pretty much escape myself and the life that I've built here. And, you know, when I went home, I moved in with my family, and my dad is currently in his alcoholism, and I saw a lot of things, and I heard a lot of things that I wish I'd never heard, and, you know, that recreated my beliefs of men, I guess you can say, to be honest. It just proved that everything that I knew and went through was right. I was completely hopeless that I would never be happy or sane again, and I would just be miserable for the rest of my life. So I ended up moving back 3 days later. So it was just a temporary move. When I got back, nothing really changed. I continued to do the same things I've always done and lived for the same thing I've always lived for. And I got to a point where the 202 wall started looking really nice, and I wanted to crash my car into it, you know, and I called my sponsor at the time, and I was just like, I don't know what to do. Like, I'm messed up, I'll say that word, you know, and I don't know what to do with myself anymore. I'm crazy, I'm obsessive, I'm codependent, I'm insane, I have no self-love, no respect, and I miss being happy, I just want peace, and like I craved all these things, but everything I tried to do myself never worked out for me. I tried filling myself with different things, you know, for that self-worth and that love, and it was outside things like human work, you know, anything that I could try and do, and nothing worked. So she's like, you need to go to Al-Anon. And I tried this program, I wouldn't say try, but I came into Al-Anon last year when my life was pretty miserable, at that time still, and I wanted nothing that you guys had. I wasn't one of you guys. It freaked me out. I did it for a little bit, and you know, I was like, I'm not that bad. You know, I can control this. I can control myself and my emotions, my behaviors, and I'm gonna leave. And I obviously had to go through a lot more pain, you know, to be willing to come back in. And that's what happened. I immediately got a sponsor, in Al-Anon. And, you know, I was to the point where, like, everything I tried and I'd done, like, stopped working or wasn't working, you know, and I just did what she told me to do and took somebody else's suggestions because my life was completely miserable. And at that point, like, I knew that my way wasn't worked. You know, and I don't know, when I went through the steps, like, they have a way of working me, you know, in my life. Like, when I'm in step one, like, you know, I'm, like, controlling everything. My life is unmanageable. I'm completely obsessive about this one thing, and everything I do is for this one thing, completely leaving out myself. You know, and I found a higher power greater than myself again, which is something that I've lost and I misplaced with outside things. You know, and I don't know if you guys can relate to this, but it was kind of like back to the basics. I was like, oh, like, God's got my life in all areas. And I started putting, you know, just praying to have like a new experience. And I remember telling my sponsor, like, if this doesn't work, like, I don't know what else to do. Like, I might need to go, like, into a sane asylum. Like, I think I'm bipolar, I'm schizophrenic, you know, like, all these crazy things that my head tells me. So I found a higher power, and, you know, for a long time I was really resentful at my current higher power, and I had to recreate a lot of beliefs that I've had, because I thought mine was punishing, and it abandoned me. You know, it wanted everybody else to be happy except for me. Like, I was on the back burner, and I realized, you know, I abandoned my God. It wasn't, you know, it's always been there, and I was really selfish, you know, obviously. You know, so I ended up completing or going through the steps, doing the fourth step, which I hate with compassion, you know, because, like, once again, I'm like, living all those horrors and all those things and stuff that I've done, and I had to find my part, and it was like, oh, like, I put myself in this situation many, many times, you know, expecting different results. You know, 6 and 7 were huge for me, and, you know, that was one thing that I never really done. Like, I have, like, 4.5 years sober, and I always thought, like, God was just gonna take it, you know what I mean? And it was like, oh, like, I have to work on these, you know, like, I can't remove these defects, like, God does, you know, God does this, God, higher power, blah, blah, blah. You know, and, like, I had a lot of amends, like, I really wasn't willing to do, and I'm so grateful for my sponsor who literally, like, had to push me and, you know you're gonna do this. And, like, all I kept thinking in this, since day one of being here, is, like, I just want to be free. Like, I don't care anymore, like, what my outside looks like, what happens if my dad, you know, like, he could die an alcoholic death, you know, like, any day, and go into a diabetic coma, and, like, the man that I love is, like, abandoning, you know, like, so, you know, it was just, like, trusting that, like, whatever God has planned, and, like, he's obviously doing for me what I can't do for myself, you know, and just trusting that, like, he has me now, I guess, and I say he, I don't know why, but... and all I kept thinking is just, I want to be free. I don't care what everything else looks like. I just want that peace back and, like, to be happy and, like, to be okay with myself. Because a long time, I wasn't. I hated myself. You know, and I... No self-love, you know? And my day consisted of obsessing and, like, rage and resentment. And, like, you know, all those things that just... make me miserable. I lived my life fit like that for 2 years, I'd say. And, you know, when I got to the men's, Crystal was so nice to tell me, like, the one that I didn't want to do that I was going to do 2 years later after I prayed for this person every day. She's like, that's going to be your first one before you can move to any. And I was just like, oh, like, you know, I don't, like, shit, like, I just want to be free, like, okay, you know, I'm sorry, I owe you a dollar, you know. Yeah. and that's what I did, you know, I just followed suit and made these amends, you know, and I know for me, like, that's the freeing, and that's where the promise is, and, like, and I can look you in the eye today, and, like, I'm at peace, and, like, today, like, I can honestly say, like, Al-Anon and, like, the women in the rooms, and the steps, they've changed, like, my life. And, you know, I was so hopeless when I came in here, and I didn't want what you guys had because I thought you guys were weird and it was crazy, but, like, I'm just, like, you know. And, like, that's nice to know, too, like, I'm not alone, because for a long time, I thought I was alone and nobody felt the way I did or obsessed like I did or did the things that I did and continued to put myself in harmful situations. You know, so, I don't know. I'm just really grateful that this program works as well because I didn't think that it would. You know, I don't know, nothing's really changed in my life, like, on the outside, but, like, today I can honestly say, like, I'm, like, genuinely happy and, like, at peace and, like, okay inside. And that's a miracle for me, because I don't want to end up on the 202. You know, so I don't know if you're new. I don't know. It works. It works if you work it. It really does. I don't really know what else to share, but I'm really grateful for Al-Anon, and I never thought I would say that. And I'll pass. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Missy.
Hi, Missy.
Hi, ladies. Wow, thank you, Laura. Way better than I was at 4 months. Jesus. Okay, I don't really know what to share either. This is the second time I've ever done an Al-Anon share. So, this is interesting. However, I'll go to an AA meeting and I'll share about my feelings. And then I'll come to an Al-Anon meeting and I'll talk about my drug history. It's really strange. Really weird. But, okay. So, I'll just tell you why I came to Al-Anon. I too went to Al-Anon at, I had 5 years sober, I went to Al-Anon. And I had a boyfriend at the time that I had moved cross country to Florida to be with this man. Left my kid behind. And I did it because I didn't feel whole inside, and I was searching outside for something to make me feel whole, and I feel like God opened this door. Because I knew this guy since I was 18. We just instantly, you know, eyes connected when we were 18 years old. And years later, we meet up again, and I'm like, God opened a door for me, and not realizing that it was because I just didn't feel okay. There was just something wrong with me. And I know what it was. Moved to Florida, he ended up relapsing. I find myself dressing in all black in the middle of the night, parking down the street from the apartment complex, waiting for cars to pass, hopping over this fence and scaling a 2-story building to try to break in because he's probably dying right now. And at that point, I was like, there may be something wrong with me, right? And my sponsor at that time in Florida said, I really think you need to go to Al-Anon. And at that time, I was like, whatever. I went to one meeting, and I wasn't ready. I went there, and the people talked. I'm like, you guys are strange. I don't relate to you. This is not my problem. What I said was, I moved here, put all my faith in this guy, left everything I had, and this man relapsed, so it's up to him to make all this better. Not realizing that it was my problem, not his. So needless to say, moved back to Arizona, and then I get into another relationship with the same type of person. And I had this big thing in my life of getting into relationships based out of fear and not out of love, because I was afraid of being alone and my self-worth was nil. I had 9 years sober this time when I came to Al-Anon, and I came in wanting it. I knew that I needed something different. I know the Amanda told me the theme is rising from the dead. Raised from the dead. Yeah, like appropriate. I always thought my drug addiction or my alcoholism would be the thing that killed me, not my Al-Anonism. I came in to Al-Anon with my hair falling out in clumps, 15 pounds lighter in a month, not being able to sleep, and I was crazy. It's absolutely crazy. And I remember going to the doctor, and the doctor ran all these tests on me, and he told me that if he took my blood and injected it into a rat, the rat would die instantly because my blood was so toxic that it was fighting. My blood was so toxic that my hair was falling out, and I was losing weight, and my body was fighting against me. And what he told me that I needed was to remove myself from the toxic situation and do some prayer meditation. Coming from a doctor who has no idea about Al-Anon, no idea about addiction, I was like, you're crazy. That's my solution. And I didn't realize that I was killing myself. I didn't realize that codependence could actually kill. No idea. So at 9 years sober, I came in. I thought that I was okay. But I always knew in my life that there was another 12 steps. I would say this to people all the time. I'm like, I really think I need another 12 steps. There's something. Something just not right with me. And of course, I'm talking to people that don't need Al-Anon. that were like, no, Missy, just go back to basics, go back to basics, go back to basics. And I'm like, I've been back to basics. I've done this, I don't know how many times. There's something missing in my life. And I know this about me. I know it. And someone suggested that I go to Al-Anon again. So I called this woman who I heard her share 2 years previously, and I connected with her instantly. And I was a little scared of her. She wasn't really nice. She was your mom. She wasn't very kind and loving when I first met her, but I just was drawn to this woman. I was drawn to her instantly. And when she shared, I cried because I got it. And I came in, and she met with me. And she's like, do you have a sponsor? I said, yeah, you. You're my sponsor. That's why I called you, and that's why I'm here. I don't care if you're not taking on new sponsees. Like, I'm going to make you my sponsor because I want what you have. And I started to form this relationship with this woman, and she was so loving and so caring. I don't know why I'm crying. Jesus. Because I felt like such a piece of garbage, and I had no self-worth, you know, and I was constantly putting myself in these relationships that validated that, validated that, validated that. And I didn't know why. Cause like I knew what my worth was somewhat, you know, but I didn't really know. I didn't really know. I never gave myself the opportunity to like shed myself of all of these things on my outside, to finally get to my inside. And, I started doing the steps with this woman, and I said the same thing. I remember sitting across from her at a restaurant, and I was like, if these steps don't work, like they better. They have to. There's no other choice for me. Like these have to work for me. This is my last option. Because A, I don't want to get high, and B, I don't want to kill myself, but I don't know what I'm going to do. I can't live this way miserable. I can't live it. I'm incapable of being a mother. You know, I'm incapable of showing up for my family. I'm not a really good friend. Like my friends, my Al-Anonism like makes me alone, and I push every important person out of my life besides my qualifier, and I keep them in there. And I don't know why I do that, but I push everyone away. Like my best friend at one point was like, you're not even coming to my birthday anymore. Like I don't even want you around. Like you can't show up for us. You can't show up, you know? And I had my other friend tell me that like the spirit is gone. Your spirit's gone. It's just sucked right out of you. And, so after I threatened Jessica and told her this better work, and she promised me, she made a promise to me that if I do this work and I follow every suggestion that it will work and I will get better. And I was hesitant and I thought I didn't have any faith or any hope, but apparently I did because I listened to her. I sat across from this woman and I'm like, I want what you have. So I did the work. Somehow in between, in 2.5 years, I mean, it's like, step work was so weird. I started doing step work with her, and then we did this workshop, and then I stopped doing that step work. I started doing this workshop step work, and then jumped right back into doing step work with her. So it was like quadruple step work somewhere. And it was just constantly in this step work. And I came to Al-Anon, and I cried for 3 or 4 months straight. I feel like at 4 months, I was still a freaking wreck. I just cried all the time. I remember we came to the Serenity Prayer, and I had to read the Serenity Prayer, and I couldn't even make it through without bawling. I'm like, if I knew how to change things, then I would have changed them a long time ago. You know, and I lost my God. I lost all of that. Because I kept putting a person in the place of my God, and I just didn't even know. Like, my brain is so tricky. No idea that I was even doing that. So, I got sober slowly. I recover in Al-Anon slowly. That's my truth. I always say I'm really glad we don't pick up chips in Al-Anon. I would be picking up a chip all the time. You know? I think for me, and I don't know how some people do, I don't know everybody's recovery is different, but for me I have to be removed from situations in order to get some clarity and to get some healing. And I had to remove myself from the situation that I was in order to see. But then the minute I would remove myself, my brain would tell me, no, you're cool, you can go back. And then I'd go back, and I'd like, it's been this back and forth thing for a long time. But what I could truly say today, which I did not know 2.5 years ago, is that I see my self-worth, which blows me away. Blows me away. I was thinking about, I'm gonna go on a date with somebody on Sunday. And my first thought wasn't, oh my God, is he gonna like me? I was like, am I gonna like him? You know? Which normally it's always been like the other way around. Which may not be huge to some people, but it's huge to me. That's huge to me. I'm like, wait, I know who I am. You know what I mean? And if someone doesn't like me, I don't know what's wrong with them. You know, this program has taught me a lot about me, about how to show up. My fifth step was based on this, or my fourth step was based on this one person, how resentful I was and how angry I was and how could they, and you know, and then as I'm doing the fifth step, someone pointed out to me, they're like, well, why did you have your daughter? I was like, whoa, that has nothing to do with this resentment that I have towards this one person. I don't know how it got to that. But in doing that fifth step, it opened up my eyes to the important things in my life. Not what I think someone has done to me, or what their disease has done, or what their disease does to them, or you know, or how it affects me, or anything like that. It opened my eyes up to like the real stuff in life, which is I'm a parent. You know, I'm a mother. Bless you. And in doing that step work, are we presenting gifts, Howard? No? Okay. You can't hear me. I learned how to love my daughter, which was huge. I didn't even know I was lacking in that area. And I learned what's really important in my life. You know, I learned how to take care of me. I don't know. It's been an amazing journey. It really has. And I didn't think it was going to work. You know, I really didn't think it was going to work. And what I love most about the Al-Anon program is that it's self-care. And then in doing the step work, like it's non-shame based, and it teaches you how to love yourself again and to look at your assets instead of so much of your, you know, your defects. And that's something I needed. So yeah, I'm gonna stop now. I'm rambling. So thank you all for being here, and I'll pass.
Hi, my name's Amanda.
Hi.
I was just thinking how they got away with having just a couple people, and then you guys walked in, and I was like, whew. Big crown. I am so grateful for Al-Anon. You guys did awesome, by the way. I also tried Al-Anon, and I'm in both fellowships, and I don't know, I probably had like 3 years sober when I tried to go to Al-Anon, and the only thing I could hear was detachment, and I didn't know what that meant, nor did I ask, nor did I care to look it up. I just knew that I did not want anything to do with it. And so when I decided to come back, and there's different things I did, even in my sobriety, that people would be like, oh, you should probably go to Al-Anon. But I didn't think it was for me, you know, and so when I came back, I too got Jessica as my sponsor, and she had pointed out to me some things, and so I had went back, and I started hearing different things, and what I heard about detachment, now I actually really am grateful for it, and can practice it in my life, and it's the meaning of it for me is loving somebody exactly where they're at, you know, and allowing them to go through whatever they need to go through, because I was delusional when I came to Al-Anon. I wasn't like super crazy. I didn't think I needed it fully until I did 9 months of inventory. Then I realized that I'm controlling and manipulative, and it's real sneaky. And I had no clue. You know, it was like to the point that my husband, which was my boyfriend at the time, you know, would get invited to these parties, and this is like really embarrassing to even share, but I'm gonna do it. We'd get invited to parties, you know, and it was like, okay, so we're dating and we're gonna split the cost of a gift, you know, and I would secretly make him pay a couple dollars more just so that way I didn't have to pay that much, you know, cause over time it adds up. And I was not even aware of it until I did inventories. And so coming to Al-Anon has helped me to get to the root cause of things, you know, of the inventories that I've done has helped me to see not only my part, but the fears that underlie everything that I do, or the way I think, the perceptions I have. And so that's really, I was talking to Missy and we were like, we're not going to play in anything. And I got up this morning and I prayed and I started thinking about this meeting and what I was going to say. And the two biggest things I think that I've learned since coming to Al-Anon are what my core fears are and how much awareness I have. And before I would have hated that. And I'm not always like, yes, I have awareness, so let's change things. No, usually I'm like, God, seriously, why do I have to look at this right now? But for me, when it comes to my core fears, I never, my entire time, in AA have ever looked at that. You know, I never knew how to look to see what that even looked like what kind of fears it would be, why they were there, how to remove them, whatever, you know, and so basically with my defects, any defect I have, there's a fear under that. And the reason why I live out of those defects is because of fear. And when I can recognize what the fear is, I'm able to work on that and then not live out of the character defects. So a prime example would be, I was talking to a friend yesterday and I was sharing, I said it like this. I said, so I've come to realize that I've made it my responsibility to make sure my husband wakes up in the morning to get to his job on time. And the reason why I do that is because I have fear that he's not capable to get to work on time by himself, which ultimately is a fear that he's going to lose his job, which then affects me financially because I'm not working, I'm student teaching. And so ultimately it's a fear of financial insecurity. And she was like, so when did you realize that? I was like, that has been constant all the time. And she's like, but I've never heard you put it that way before. I was like, I don't know. Like, I realized this morning he was late for work and I feel bad and it's not my place. But it's gotten to the point that he doesn't even set an alarm because he knows I'm going to wake him up, even if I have to literally drag him out of bed. So I got the opportunity last night to set boundaries, you know, and usually I build it up because I hate setting boundaries, like, so bad. And usually I'll, like, sit in it for a while and make it this really big thing, and then I have to, like, walk through all this fear to even have a conversation with somebody. And it's funny because it's my husband, so, but it's just so hard sometimes. And I just told him yesterday, I said, you know what, I've realized that I've made it my job to wake you up, and I can no longer do that. I was like, I don't feel right about it. I don't want it to be my responsibility. And it was really simple. It was pretty much that, you know. And he was like, okay. And he kind of laughed and he was like, yeah, I'm a real good alcoholic and you're a real good Al-Anon. I was like, yep. I'll just keep going back. And so I liked when you guys talked about, you know, Al-Anon is about taking care of me, you know, and we were kind of chatting as the meeting first started about, like, what is the difference between AA and Al-Anon. And where I got sober, we were taught, you know, to pretty much put all your shit aside and, like, help anybody whenever it was needed. And so it was kind of hard for me when I first got to Al-Anon because it was like, wait a minute, for, like, so many years, I've dropped everything about me and have taken care of everybody else, you know? And so it's like finding that balance of, okay, what's being of service in AA and what's taking care of Amanda, you know, and I feel like as the more time I stay in Al-Anon, the easier it gets, you know, and I'm not perfect by any means. I still struggle with it. But it looks a lot different, you know, and as before, I would just drop everything, and now it's like I can set boundaries and say no if I have to, or if it's prior engagement, because I like to pack my schedule, you know, and try to be all places at once, you know, and so some of the things that I did, before I came to Al-Anon that were like outside of me, you know, to give, that was kind of clear on like how I belonged here is, when my sister was 16, she used to run away from home a lot and she got 3 underage drinking violations and, I would literally drop everything in my life and I grabbed a friend and I went and hunted her down and tried to get her sober and told her she needed to go to rehab and like all this stuff. And, then she got pregnant and I realized that God had a plan, you know, she kind of leveled out and wasn't so crazy in that area and, started being a great mother. And, I think she does have alcoholism. It kind of runs in our family, but, my niece is 3 now. My sister's 20 years old and she's married. She left her husband and she went and she's off and running with, some drug dealer. And it's just crazy how much, Al-Anon has done for my life. You know, I pray for her every single day and I hope to God that her journey doesn't take her out there for very long. Because she knows like she can contact me or other people. But she's abandoned my daughter. That's weird. she's abandoned my niece and I've only seen her once since she's been out there, my sister. And I had to be careful because I went with my mom and my mom, is a good Al-Anon, possible alcoholic. And so I just asked my sister if she wanted to get help. I didn't even say that. I said, do you want to pack up your stuff and, come back with us? And, she didn't want to. And now this time she's 20 years old. So like, there's no forcing, you know, and I really had that awareness and I went into it. I prayed a shitload and I called my people and I called my sponsor and I was really accountable with it because I did not want to be the Amanda from 4 years ago. And because I know like how this works, like I too was in her situation before, you know, and when shit hit the fan, I knew I could call my dad. And when someone's trying to harass me, you know, it's like, I'm going to push you away and I'm going to do the opposite, you know? So, I had a moment of clarity when I was talking to her that day where, I realized that I was doing most of the talking instead of my mother talking. And, my sister was like, how about you start being the mom instead of having her be the mom? And it just like brought back like, just from growing up and stuff, I always tried to step up and be the mom because my mom wasn't the greatest and she did the best she could. And it's all that control and manipulation and thinking that like, I know what's best, you know? And the biggest thing that I've learned, from going to Al-Anon is I don't know shit and God has a plan. And my sister is choosing this path and it sucks to watch, you know? But I know that she has a God in her life and my niece is taken care of and we still get to see her. And so it's just crazy because before even like sponsoring people, I used to tell people like all the time, I think you should do this and I don't think you should do this and I think you should do this. You know, and a couple of years ago for my New Year's resolution, I made it that I'm going to remove should or shouldn't out of my vocabulary. And I've made huge progress because I just don't know. You know, I just don't know what God's plan is. And half the time I don't even know what God's plan is for me, you know. And since I got Jessica as my sponsor, she's really pushed me to deepen that relationship with my higher power. and really pray and meditate about certain situations, and make my decisions for myself. Because right before her, I had a sponsor that tried telling me everything to do, and that didn't work for me. And so it's like, if that doesn't work for me, like, why am I gonna, like, treat other people like that, you know, and expect other people to, like, all of a sudden do what I think they should do, you know? So yeah, I mean, it's just, it's crazy how much, I also didn't think that I would end up being an Al-Anon. I was like, yeah, another 12-step program. But now sometimes I feel more comfortable in Al-Anon meetings than I do AA meetings. And I feel like I can completely be myself, and share exactly where I'm at, and they get it, you know? So we still have 10 minutes left, and, talk about. I'm really grateful to be here. I'm glad more people showed up because, yeah, Al-Anon's awesome. So that's all I have. I'm gonna pass.